Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show we've all been waiting for, Paranormal Buzz Radio, is proud to present REP Paranormal and Friends with your hosts, Kim Purvis and Allison Robinson. Live every Thursday night on Spreaker, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Be sure to check out their Facebook page, REP Paranormal Busters.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast by the host or the guest do not necessarily reflect the views of Paranormal Buzz Radio or its sponsors. Use of any material produced by Paranormal Buzz Radio without express written consent is strictly prohibited. For information on everything Paranormal Buzz Radio has to offer, visit our website, ParanormalBuzzRadio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to another night of REP Paranormal and Friends. We have a special guest. We have Josh Hurd. So welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot, you know? Not a whole lot. Looks like totally we have a live crowd here tonight in the chat, though, so that's going to be interesting. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great questions tonight. So well, you better be on your A game.
What's about to happen?
All right, so we do have some new faces in chat. I know Christopher's fairly new to this, so if you want to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Josh. I'm a paranormal author, lecturer, investigator, filmmaker. I'm also co-owner or whatever what we call Malvern Manor in Malvern, Iowa. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Well, there you go. So now they know. So, okay. So let's kind of get into this. Cause I don't think I've ever asked you this, but what got you interested in the paranormal to start off with?
When I was about, I think probably I was about 12 years old, I had lost an uncle who had AIDS. So he passed away. He was 31 years old. And so he was quite young, and this was a big shock, you know, to the whole family. Mm-hmm. But there were some very odd things, like, surrounding his death that, really was kind of, like, what I attribute to, like, my first real, you know, paranormal experiences, things like that. And that's what, you know, ultimately got me kind of on this path, asking the bigger questions in life. And, mm-hmm. like, literally, at 12 years old, diving into, you know, parapsychological research and, you know, different things that people have written, like the works of, like, Hans Holzer, for example, and, you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren is another prime example as well. Uh-huh. But reading through their case files and reading all of this different stuff and trying to come up with an answer because, you know, when you're 12 years old, I mean, it's kind of a terrifying thought just to entertain anyway.
Right.
And you're kind of at that age where you just start to realize like the finality of death, right? And my uncle was my best friend, you know, when mm-hmm. he passed away, and so this was a big shock. And so that's ultimately, you know, what set me on the path of the paranormal. I just really haven't looked back, honestly. It's just, I don't know, either really cool or really sad, one of the two.
Let's see here. Oh, Matt's kind of being a smart ass, but he said, is Malvern Manor a B&B?
No. However, if you ask the insurance company, yes, it is. Like, that's how we had to bill it. Because when we called the insurance company and all that stuff, they're like, okay, what exactly are you doing? I'm like, okay, look, this is what we're doing. They're like, okay, and people pay you for this? I'm like, well, yeah, you know, kind of. They pay the building, you know, basically. And so, like, okay, sounds great. Well, so, yeah, it had to be considered a B&B because they had no other idea what to name it.
Well, technically it is because we sleep there overnight.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you've got a microwave for food if you want to cook breakfast.
That's what I asked the guy. I was like, I'm not coming over every morning and supposed to, like, prepare breakfast, am I? And this guy's like, no.
Oh, come on. That would be great.
Jesus. Oh, yeah, that'd be just awesome. I am not a cook. Like, guys, I can barely make mac and cheese, okay? Like, if I wasn't married, I'd probably be dead. I'm that serious. Like,
but you're a hell of a landscaper.
All right. Sons of bitches. Is Chris Case in the damn...
No.
Is that what he's doing?
No, that's not yet. That's actually from me, because I was there when you were telling us the story the first time. So I figured I'd beat everybody to it.
This is like become the running joke, right?
I know, like, it has been.
We do something like, because Hauser has something that he always goes to, right? Oh, right. I can't. Like Hauser will say, oh, I've got to go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I can't. I got to go grocery shopping, right? Well, I was like, well, crap, grocery shopping's already taken. So now I have to come up with something really cool. I'm like, oh, we're going to be landscaping, like, right? So I can't do anything. I'm landscaping that night. I'm sorry. And so that's kind of my go-to excuse. So if you know, like, you know, if I ever say I'm landscaping, I'm completely full of crap. But yeah, it's fun.
Matt in the chat says he's looking for a new cooking job.
Yeah,
right. I tell you, anything that... Yeah, I mean, all we have is a microwave, right? We got a coffee pot.
Yeah, coffee pot, microwave, and the restaurant a block away. Less than a block away. God. Just go through the alley.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we've got that. We got a restaurant across the street. We got a restaurant right in the front yard.
Right.
Yeah.
We're sitting pretty, you know?
Yeah, you are.
And the one right in the front yard, you know, they have good breakfast.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Because that's where we always hit.
Yeah.
I tell you. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so tying in with this, since we were talking about the manor, how did you come about being a co-owner?
So, yeah, that's kind of a weird story. So, I was shooting my first documentary film across the street, like what we were just talking about, at the Classic Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, that place has its own, like, slew of paranormal things going on. So they were cool enough to be like, yeah, you guys come on over and shoot your doc, you know, whatever. I'm like, cool. Well, there's a bar attached to it, and mm-hmm. it was a Friday night, and yeah, apparently it was a pretty rough week for a lot of folks because, God, heaven, like, they were loud and, like, really, really plastered. So it was a lexicon of libations that were flowing that night. And it was... you know, with noise contamination and all that stuff, like, we couldn't do an investigation. So I walked outside, ended up meeting this guy who owned this creepy building, which we now call Malvern Manor, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he was nice enough to kind of give us a little bit of the history of the place. And we had experienced so much in that building. Like, I was absolutely hooked. And so I kind of convinced him to open up the doors to the place, you know? Mm-hmm. And for 6 months, I gave tours at the place. I would check people in. I would take the money, and then I would run it directly over to him because he just lived next door. So I would just run him over the money. It was the easiest money this guy had ever made in his life, and I never got a dime, you know? This was like a labor of love. And then he called me, and he was like, hey, I got a new job, and I have to leave. So I'm selling my house, and I'm going to be selling the manor. I'm selling it all. I was like, holy crap, just hang on. So I reached out to a friend of mine who I had met actually through the manor because they had been there numerous times, and I knew they loved the place just as much as me. And so his name is Kurt. So I reached out to Kurt, and I was like, okay, look, bro, here's the deal. I'm like, we may have to close the doors, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, nope, hang on. And so we were lucky enough to kind of swoop in there and get the building, you know. Now, right after that happened, like literally right after that happened, is when I got like the first phone call from Nick Groff, you know, like Paranormal Lockdown was on their way. So it was kind of a good thing that Kurt came into the picture when he did and kind of saved the day, you know.
No shit. Good night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We're glad he did.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right. So, also, I know you do a lot of filmmaking. What got you interested in, like, your filmmaking?
So, that was another accident, right? it really was. I had never had any interest whatsoever in making a movie at all. I wanted to write books. And that was that, you know. I wanted to just be an author, a lecturer, things like that. Never in a million years did I think, oh yeah, you're going to do this. Well, I had some people that had read my first book and they liked it. And they're filmmakers from California. They got a hold of me and they're like, this would make a really cool doc. And I'm like, okay, how do you do that? You know, and they kind of walked me through the process. And I mean, it took like a year and a half to do everything to I mean, we shot the whole thing in 2 weeks, but the planning that goes into it, the editing that comes afterwards, like the whole thing, you know, was about a year and a half worth of work. But after, like, after we shot the thing and editing and all of that stuff, I was like, okay, now I've got the itch, right? So now I'm like, how do you do this? And so they kind of like took me under their wing and taught me how to do this. But yeah, it was, so I mean, that was kind of my introduction into filmmaking. And then A Brush with Evil 2, I was kind of all on my own. And then I've made other films in between 2 and A Brush with Evil 3. And so I just kind of went crazy, honestly, with it and just hit the ground running and just haven't looked back. So I think now I'm up to like 17 documentary films that I've either shot, produced, or been a part of in some way.
Damn.
It's kind of stupid.
It's kind of stupid.
It's a little ridiculous, yeah.
I haven't watched the Brush of Evil ones yet, but I did find them. Actually, I didn't know that they were on Amazon, and I was browsing.
They are now, yes. So,
and so I'm like, I'm going to have to sit down and just binge watch it, because I know Darren said he's watched them, so...
Yeah, well, I tell you, the first A Brush with Evil film sucks. It's absolutely horrible. I will say that, like, I will never be happy with that film.
Yeah.
I've always, like, so many times I've actually thought to myself, you should just scrap it, start over, not reshoot it or anything, just re-edit it, you know, readdress it. And I'm like, but at the same time, it's out there now. Like, literally thousands of people have seen this.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, it is what it is. It's out there, warts and all, you know?
Yep.
And so I'm like, now you just have to make the second one even better, which I think the second one is a lot better. It still has a lot of warts or whatever. But then the third one, I'm quite proud of the third one, just from the experimentation aspect of everything and kind of how we shot it. And like bringing my pal, you know, Chris Case into A Brush with Evil 3, helped tremendously also. And then of course, you know, we've got, you know, Paul and I mean, God, all those guys that helped with A Brush with Evil. It was just amazing. Like the amount of friends, I guess, you know, if that's what you want to call them, the sons of bitches. But anyway. But no, it is pretty cool, though, like, just coming together and working together, you know, collectively.
Right.
It's a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Fred and Darren both said that they're awesome, so... I'm just gonna have to sit down and just binge watch them. But I was watching some of your haunted object things today. I was watching some of those, and you had that really weird witch looking one that's like 2 feet tall.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. That doll, the one that made me sick.
You were like talking about how you were getting all this pressure and stuff. I mean, even when you held it up to like the screen, I'm like, I'm not too sure about that.
So, and that's just, I thought, like, I opening the box or whatever, and I'm like, okay, it's just an ugly-ass doll.
Right?
No. Like, it was just weird, because I was fine until I wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
I was, like, totally fine, and then it, I don't know what happened, but I tried, okay, because I'm kind of an asshole sometimes, but there was a group that came by, and, they hadn't seen, you know, the videos or anything like that. I hadn't put them out yet.
Oh, yeah.
And so this girl had seen that doll sitting in my office. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, go ahead and hold her for a little bit.
Oh, shit.
And she, the exact same thing happened. It was about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
About 10 minutes of her, like, handling the doll. She ran to the bathroom.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
Like, I'll be damned. So now nobody touches the doll.
Oh, see.
Because I was curious, and then, you know, I had to come clean. I was like, okay, look, sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
I probably would have punched you.
I'm sure she thought about it, but she was also feeling kind of sick still, so I got the hell out of it.
I don't think it would have mattered. I probably still would have punched you.
You're pretty spry. Yeah, you probably would have.
I would have chased her with it.
Yeah, she would have.
Right. Oh, man.
We do have a question from Christopher. He wants to know, what would you call your type of films?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I like to call them documentaries. The style that I kind of like to shoot is more like what I just call run and gun.
Mm-hmm.
Run and gun type of documentary film. So, I always have like a list of shots that I want. Especially like B-roll shots and different things like that to kind of set the mood or tell the story. But for the most part, it's just real life. You point, you shoot, and whatever you get, you get.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I want to keep it as real as possible. I don't want a lot of fluff with it. I don't want to sensationalize anything. And that's why, like, especially with A Brush with Evil 1, one of the compliments of the very few compliments that I've gotten from that horrible piece of trash. But anyway, one of the few compliments I have gotten is the fact that the sound design is almost non-existent. So you don't have music in the background almost telling you how to feel.
Right.
You don't have that.
Yeah.
It's basically like you're on this investigation right alongside us. And so that's one thing, one aspect that I've tried to kind of carry over into the other documentaries as well.
And I think that's actually awesome because sometimes you can't hear what's going on. You know, they'll be like, oh, I heard this. Well, I can't hear it over your fucking music.
Exactly. It's like, well, you have this creepy music telling you how to react. I don't like the jump scare bullcrap. I don't either.
No. So props to you for not using it.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, you get that a lot on, like, the shows and things like that. And you're just like, I don't know what the hell you're hearing because I can't hear over this stupid-ass music you have playing. Like, I can't hear it.
I totally get it.
So, okay. And then also, Christopher wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that, like, what type of documentary?
I mean, for the most part, it's like anything, any type of subject that makes me think, right? So, I mean, for the most part, they're all in the paranormal vein of entertainment, if that's what you want to call it. So, like, all the Abreast with Evil films, you know, center around ghost hunting, things like that. Mm-hmm. Patience is another one that I did. That's more of a historical type of haunting thing. You know, kind of exploring. It's basically a ghost story with a lot of cool history behind it. And so it's me and my brother going to St. Louis, Missouri to kind of try to dig up some of this history, which is a lot of fun. You know, Interconnected was another film that I'm really proud of. Uh-huh. And that's kind of what I call, and this is kind of funny, I'm letting you into my head for a minute, but so I call, like, Interconnected a sit-on-your-ass documentary. That's what I call it, a sit-on-your-ass documentary. And what I mean by that is the fact that you don't necessarily have to go out and shoot anything.
Right.
You can quite literally make the documentary sitting on your ass in your home, you know, with voiceover work and different pieces of clips and footage. You're just telling a story and letting the audience then form an opinion. Interconnected was really, really cool in that respect. And so actually I just submitted Interconnected to a couple different film festivals around the country, so we'll see, fingers crossed on that. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting stuff, but for the most part they're all in that paranormal type of genre for sure.
Okay, perfect. All right, now I got to get back to my stuff. They have a lot of questions here in chat. Like, they're blowing us up. And then and then I kind of forgot about Cynthia. I know sometimes she has to get going. I want to answer her or have you answer her questions. She wants to know if you would let her bring another doll to you.
Yeah. Yeah, the more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
I got to tell you, I hate dolls so much. I really do. Like, I really despise them. But at the same time, it's kind of a fascinating idea, isn't it? Like, something like a spirit maybe potentially haunting an inanimate object?
Right,
like,
yeah.
For example, like the doll that jumped off the damn shelf when you guys were there.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is that about? That doll is still in the case, by the way.
I know. She was there the last time we were there. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and she's not moving. I'm not getting her out of that case at all. Ever.
Come on.
No, hell no.
Well, what was strange about that doll, we've been there 3 times.
That was the second.
And nothing, it never moved till that last time.
Well, it moved.
You know what's quite,
2 weeks
and
before.
This is like fairly curious too, is just a few hours before you arrived, I had gotten rid of Rose.
I know, and I said that I didn't feel her there anymore.
Right. Because
she used to follow me
so
home.
That's just it. It's like Rose went back with her, owner, her original owner.
Right.
And then for that crap to happen just a few hours later,
she's
what?
Pissed. She's pissed.
Yes. So I always, like, I don't know, I try to entertain as many different weird thoughts as possible, right? But is it possible or feasible that this spirit would have jumped objects? I mean,
that's what Kim and I were thinking too. We're like, maybe she did.
Maybe she didn't want to leave. She liked it there. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Exactly.
So, and that's another thing, right? So with the introduction of Rose to the manor, we also got the introduction of that spirit calling himself Number One. And ever since Rose left, Number One has remained, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. So it is possible. Like, I always attributed Number One with Rose. And for Number One to still be around, I don't know.
That's, you don't know.
Because that was the first thing that came out of my mouth when that doll moved and Rose was gone. I says, could Rose have moved to another doll that she didn't want to leave the manor?
Right, exactly.
I honestly think so, yeah. And honestly, like, 2 years ago, you would have talked to me about, like, haunted objects and haunted dolls. I probably would have said you were caw-caw duty shit crazy. And now I'm like, I don't know. This is a little strange for me. So, yeah.
I'm glad we caught it on tape. That was the best thing. We caught it live.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I just wish I would have had more cameras and more angles. But, like, literally, I was just holding Kim's phone on, you know, on a live feed.
The scream is what made it.
I know. They're all saying that right now in chat. They're like, that scream woke me up. It's like, you can't fake that. That was a real scream. I should have gotten an award for that shit.
Exactly. That was, like, pure...
Where's my Emmy?
Oh, my God. It was absolute... fear, like unadulterated fear, right?
I know.
There.
And then the
in
funny thing
purest
is,
purest form,
we just continued to sit there for like another 5-10 minutes. Okay, let's just keep going.
Yeah, just keep the party going. Might as well.
And then I hiccuped on the live feed, and Adam Tillery was watching it, and he goes, oh shit. He's like, I just jumped about 10 feet when you hiccuped.
I freaking love Adam. Oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't that going to be great next month?
Next month.
That's right.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I'm so happy.
Yes.
So excited. It's going to be
My gosh. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I just hope the weather's not too bad.
Yeah, me too. Good Lord.
Gosh. All right, let's see here. I've got some more questions here. If I can read my writing, because, you know, I'm about ready to crack open this little bit I have left in a bottle. So,
Chug her down.
I know. I will. Be like, shot. Okay. let's see here. One of the questions was, they want to know if you have any new books coming out.
Oh my gosh. So, I've been working on 3 different
books.
Holy
shit!
I know. So, I don't know when, but I would say that yes, sometime in the year 2020, a new book or two will be out, for sure. So, that's been kind of fun, kind of exciting. It's just, good Lord. You know, like, I've got 3 kids, and it's just like, good Lord, it's killing me. it's just killing me.
You're killing me, Smalls. I just busted my pen.
Exactly.
My pen just...
She's breaking things already.
It just exploded on me. It got a little exciting and just exploded.
She gets all tipsy and shit just starts breaking. Look
at her. Yeah, I'm not even tipsy yet. Oh, I don't have enough for that.
I can't take her anywhere, damn it.
I know, can't. She found me a pencil, so it's all good.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm just crossing off everything that I've
already
I've
crossed. Got a question from my husband. Remember, he came with me for Roland's birthday, and he was sleeping in the corner. He really wasn't sleeping. He was listening to us. He wants to know, how many cigarettes do you go in a night when you have to go for a smoke break?
Oh, my. I am a power smoker. Like, I am definitely not a novice when it comes to smoking. I will smoke it up with the best of them, that is for sure.
Well, he thought that was so cool. He said, because you say, I hear a noise, smoke break. Hear another noise, smoke break.
Yep, exactly. I'm not, I wish I was joking. Like, good Lord. But, I do take a lot of smoke breaks. Just because, you know, like, good Lord. I pretty much feel like I have to sometimes, because it's like, you just have to take yourself out of the equation, and that's what sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're in the building all the time, and it's like, oh, okay, something creepy is going on and happening, but you also realize you can't leave for another, like, 5 or 6 hours because you have an overnight group that's coming, and, well, I can't just... leave the building unattended or whatever for 5 or 6 hours, so go and smoke.
Yep, yep. Yeah, he was sitting in that chair next to that hallway, and Kelly started telling her story about the shadow that she saw coming up that thing.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
notice, after we all left, he went to the couch. He wasn't staying near that chair.
I can't say I blame him at all.
I'm surprised I even got him in the building, let alone
yeah,
stay.
Yeah, I was scared.
Awesome,
I mean, I was shocked.
But it's freaking awesome, though.
Oh, here we go. This one here has kind of a tally going. What's the one object in the world you never want to be haunted?
Toilet seat?
Is that a new answer, Darren?
No, that's about the same.
It's about the same?
Yeah, what most people have been saying, toilet or toilet seat.
Oh, I'm glad I'm with the majority.
Oh, but what did... Michelle Ballinger. First she said... what did she say? She said, oh, shit, what's in your sink? The...
Garbage disposal.
But then she said something about a butt plug.
Perfect.
A haunted butt plug. I'm like, that's a new one right there.
You don't want that for sure, though. I would say that definitely tops the list. That's good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Any new experiments that you're going to come up with this year? You have anything up your sleeve?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, and I'm always trying to find that experiment, right? Like
right.
One definitive experiment. I think we all are, honestly.
Yeah.
But man, like, I think what it's honestly almost about time to do is to just, you know, we have so much new tech and,
yep.
and new gadgets and gizmos and new lights and different sounds and all this fun stuff like all the time, and I appreciate it, and I like the technological advancements that we're making,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time it's almost just kind of a refab of what we already have,
right
yeah. And so there hasn't been anything really groundbreaking and new and all that, and I'm like, God, you look back at some of the older type of, you know, experimentation that they used to do. I mean, for God's sake, something as simple as hanging a bell on a doorknob.
Right, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
You know, like, and you look back at, like, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and some of the different pieces of equipment and experimentation they were using, and God, the results were phenomenal. I think it's almost time to just go back, right, and just take a step or five back.
Yeah.
And really kind of explore, you know, some of the older school methods and see if that, mm-hmm. you know, see if that could help us or guide us in any way to something new,
mm-hmm.
Which would be awesome. Now, I'm no engineer or anything mm-hmm. like that, so I can come up with a really cool idea, but there's no freaking way I can get it off the paper. You know what I mean?
Right, so, yeah, same.
But I do think exploring some of the old school methods would be just phenomenal, honestly. I think it'd be great. So I don't know. Like, as far as, like, experiments, I'm always, you know, like I said, I'm always thinking
mm-hmm.
about different things to try and do and different pieces of equipment to implement here or there or whatever. So
right.
God only knows. Like, it'll hit me. Something will hit me on a fucking Tuesday, and I'll be like, okay, I'll try this. It's so weird because I just call it like ignorance on fire, you know?
Right.
It really is. Because it's like, I don't know what we're doing, but damn it, it's gonna be awesome. It's the way I roll sometimes. It's just the way it has to happen.
There's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. And I don't think there's any, I mean, there's a lot of the older stuff. Like Kim and I, we use these candles from the Dollar Tree that
yeah.
twist on and off. We get a lot right. of stuff at Ferrara with that, actually.
That's awesome.
But I mean,
we've had them go off in Malvern a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, even like, I have a reel-to-reel recorder.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like one of the old school
yeah.
type old school reel-to-reel recorders.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even realize like the significant difference.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In digital audio, what we usually use today, as opposed to analog, what it used to be, you know, mm-hmm. on the physical tape itself, and they're actually picking up completely different frequencies,
right.
whether people are aware of that or not. I would like to maybe do a little more experimentation with, you know, both running simultaneously.
Oh, yeah.
And if we were to, you know, maybe pick up an EVP on one,
right.
and maybe not the other or what have you, and then, you know, you tweak here and you tweak there and you go about it again and again and again until you're damn near sick of it.
Right.
But then you formulate different ideas, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe a new plan of attack as well. So I don't know. Like, there's all sorts of fun stuff I want to try.
Well, I've been going through mom and dad's stuff, and I found an old 10mm camera, video camera.
See, that's
I wished
awesome.
I got to find me some film. I would like to try that one in a couple of places,
yeah.
if I can find the film.
Oh, that'd be fun. Have you looked at, like, eBay or anything like that? I wonder if
I just found
like
the
that.
Camera, so I haven't had time to search yet.
Sure.
But, yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, that would be fun.
I figured that'd be something different trying, you know, experimenting with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Heck yes.
Try some of the older stuff.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And I found uh-huh. the Polaroid camera, mom and dad's old Polaroid camera, so, and they still make the film for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because those are coming back.
I was just going to say they're making a comeback.
Hell yeah.
It's kind of the thing now. It's really cool.
I
don't know how much those things cost.
Around $60 to $100,
depending on the camera.
Okay.
Depending on the style. Yeah, because I thought about getting one for my youngest one, but.
Yeah.
I thought that would be, kind of cool. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It'd be cool. Just
let
to
them
see
appreciate what we used to have to deal with all the time.
I know, right? I know. That would be awesome. Well, my oldest one, though, she does want a record player.
Nice.
But
she's into the vinyl. That's
yep,
awesome.
She's really into that, but she, you know,
so cool.
She listens to music from like the 40s on up. So
very eclectic.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I got
good
six record
her.
Players.
I know. You guys should play the guitar together.
I would be all about that. I love playing guitar. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, you play in a band, right?
I do. Yeah. Oh. I mean, whenever, you know, it's
yeah,
usually like
time.
A weekend thing, you
right.
know, like
when
maybe
he finds...
just a couple nights or a month. So yeah.
Do you play the bass or the electric or?
I just play for the band that I'm in. I just play a standard acoustic guitar, and
oh,
then my friend and bandmate, he just plays the drums. So together,
sweet.
Now I've kind of tweaked my guitar a little bit, imagine that.
Yeah.
But so when I'm playing it or what have you, like,
yeah.
I have it set in a very specific way, so you're going to hear a lot of the low end notes
uh-huh.
as well, so
uh-huh.
it's almost going to resemble a full sound of a band, like with bass and a lot of the tinny then of the tinny sound of the actual acoustic guitar too, and then plus with the drums and the drum kit and all of that, like
right.
it does sound like a full band, and it's like, hell, there's only two of us on stage.
Wow, sweet.
My fingers are quite busy, but it's fun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it is fun.
Oh, Darren says you got to get your singles on Spotify.
Oh, hell. That'd be fun. You know, I think the only recent, like, original type of music I've ever composed would have been for the films. That's it. Uh-huh. Like, you know, it's just for, like, the A Brush with Evil films. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
The different scores that I use. It's just me and a electric guitar. My electric guitar, that's the only time I ever really bring that out anymore is when I'm putting music to a film.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I'm playing, so yeah.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Exactly. All right, I'll get back on topic. I had a squirrel moment. You have to have those every now and then, because, I mean, you've heard, like, these questions probably about a bazillion times, so sometimes you got to throw something else in there.
I totally appreciate it. Yeah. I have a squirrel moment about roughly every 8.3 seconds. I'm just throwing that out there, too. So I totally feel you.
I know. I have them all the time, so that's all good. All right, let's see here. If I can read my writing. What is your favorite conspiracy theory of the paranormal?
Oh, hell. As far as, like, conspiracy theories or whatever, like, JFK will always be my go-to. Like, I could talk for days on that.
Yeah,
right?
That's what my daughter, too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that stuff. And, like, JFK is just a really cool story anyway. But, you know, as far as, like, the paranormal aspect of everything, mm-hmm. I'm still very convinced that we are being conditioned mm-hmm. as a human populace, right? We're being right. conditioned most likely through mainstream Hollywood films and things like movies like Independence Day. Mm-hmm. All of that is very, very calculated to get us closer and almost ready mm-hmm. for disclosure
right.
as far as like alien existence and communication and all that stuff. And there are a lot of people out there that do believe that, you know, it's coming sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that every decade we say the same crap, you know, over yeah. and over, oh, it's coming,
I know.
Well, it almost does feel like it's getting there.
Yeah.
There was a ton of sightings everywhere. I did a documentary called Disclosure, and Disclosure was an absolute steaming pile of trash, but like at the same time, like I think there were some really good points in it, just uh-huh. because like aliens freak me out, and this isn't a secret, you know.
Right.
People realize like I'm terrified of the idea of aliens. I don't necessarily think that their intentions would be good, however there is a large camp of people that do believe that aliens would be here for education, to spread mm-hmm. kindness and light and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thought. I just don't necessarily buy into it. And the only reason I say that is because I saw something in the sky once
uh-huh.
that I couldn't explain.
Right.
And it shot off faster than I could even fathom. Like, I didn't even realize what I was looking at,
mm-hmm.
right? What I did know is that the absolute internal, very carnal feeling was that of, like, when you're a little kid and you get caught doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, and you're like, my mom would be like, Joshua Steven, you know what I mean? And I'm like, shit, you know, like, that feeling right there, like, I almost, like, I felt like, whatever this is, you're not supposed to see this.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate feeling that I had taking away from that, you know, so it didn't feel good, regardless. Like, I mean, for God's sake, the cigarette dropped out of my mouth. You know what I mean? It was a very, like, Ghostbusters type of moment where it's like, but that was what I took away from that experience. And I haven't had another since, really, you know? So mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, my God. So that wasn't – I think mm-hmm. as a human populace, we would have a very hard time digesting – if we had 100% disclosure, these are who we've been talking to. This is what we know of them. This is how long we've been talking to them. This is what mm-hmm. they're up to. I think there would be civil unrest. I think also, and I'll even take it like five steps further, I think mm-hmm. organized religion as we know it could potentially crumble. like, what happens to God, or mm-hmm. the idea of God, or a higher power, or whatever, if these things were to actually, you know, this idea comes to fruition? That's messed up. Mm-hmm. Now, with that, I will also say the Vatican, mm-hmm. just a few years ago, did a very smart business move on their part, and they had their astrology department, which the Vatican has their own, you know, astrology department, which is amazing. But they came out very publicly and said, don't be surprised if one day we are visited by something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the largest form of organized religion that you can imagine, coming out very publicly right. and saying, don't be surprised if this happens. The yep. smartest thing ever mm-hmm. that they could have done is that right there.
Right.
But that, like, that public announcement, you know, movies, like I said, like Independence Day, Signs, The yeah. Fourth Kind, things like that mm-hmm. are getting us there, gearing us up towards the idea of disclosure. And, like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, like, the newest trailer of Top Gun. Have you ever watched that? Like,
I haven't seen that yet. With this,
okay. So they're remaking, excuse me. So Top Gun, it's more of a continuation of the story. It's Maverick, you know, 20 yes, years right. down the road, basically,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's called, Top Gun Maverick, if I'm not mistaken. I could be totally wrong. But mm-hmm. if you notice, like, it was kind of odd timing as well. So, but anyway, at the very end of this clip that they uh-huh. just put out, oh, a couple months back now, uh-huh. But at the end of this clip, you notice Maverick flying, and it's just a very tight shot in the cockpit type of thing, but his mm-hmm. helmet looks weird. His helmet looks different, mm-hmm. almost as if he's going out of this atmosphere, huh. almost as if it's like a space helmet, okay?
Yeah.
And it wasn't any coincidence to me, but it wasn't very long before, so it wasn't too long after the fact that we had just announced the invention of mm-hmm. what we are about to soon be calling Space Force. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this another way, another like propaganda move from the government to condition us to, number one, accept Space Force, mm-hmm. right? And number two, right. then accept the fact that he could be potentially, I don't know, like I have no idea, but is it, again, like, going to condition us to the idea of extraterrestrial life? Mm-hmm. I don't see a summer blockbuster necessarily going that direction, especially Top Gun. Mm-hmm. But it is fairly interesting, especially because the trailer launched and the movie's not supposed to come out until the summer. And
right.
Nobody puts out a trailer that freaking far in advance.
No.
It was just very odd timing, in my opinion.
Right. I'm actually watching it. I googled it.
Yeah.
I had to check this shit out for myself.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's just so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's right at the end. It's right at the end that you'll see a very small glimpse of it. You know?
Gosh. That's crazy. Yeah. Kim's over here just chuckling at me. Hey, well, I'll forget about it if I don't do it right now.
You know, I'm the exact same way. I'm like, yeah, you gotta check this out now before I forget about it later.
Going back to your band thing, because Christopher popped in here. He wanted to know, what's your favorite band?
Oh, yeah. like, by far, one of my favorite bands on the planet is Tool. I love Tool. A Perfect Circle. You know, really anything Maynard James Keenan kind of touches mm-hmm. is art and magical to me. I love it. The way that they put together and present their music. I will say this also, another band that I've just recently started to really get into uh-huh. Musically, like how they put together a song mm-hmm. And the different changes and everything like that is absolute genius. But Coheed and Cambria is fastly becoming one of my favorites
yeah.
as well.
I
swear it. It's super weird. But yeah, like I don't know. So yeah, Tool for sure is right up there.
Well, there you go, Christopher. Now you know. Tool.
Tool.
He says nice. Tool rocks.
He says Tool rocks. Okay.
I freaking love Tool.
I totally see what you saw in that bit, in that clip.
Yes. Isn't it jacked up?
Yeah. It is.
And again, it's just like, okay, is this me just like reaching for something that I want to be there?
No,
or is
no.
not? It's like,
No.
I know.
Nope. I agree.
I don't get it. Whatever.
Now me, if aliens came here, I'd probably go looking for them because I'm obsessed with aliens.
Yeah.
Like,
I
used to collect alien stuff.
I'll be in a hole.
Huh?
Did you really?
I did. I collected.
You used to, oh my god.
Yeah, I used to have little aliens. Well, I had a Foo Fighters shirt that had a neon, like you know, it was glow in the dark, had a glow in the dark alien on it. I had all that kind of stuff. But I was also into a lot of tie dye and other stuff.
That's awesome, though.
But,
other stuff.
But it was. But yeah, aliens, like, I even made an alien head in art class. Like, you know, I did it out of clay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I was obsessed
Damn.
With it.
Damn.
So that's something that interests me.
If disclosure happens, most likely you'll find me and my entire family in a bunker
That's
somewhere.
That's what I was just going to say.
I'd be like, nope, screw it. We're out of here.
Oh my gosh.
That's too crazy.
I don't know. Okay, we got a couple more questions here. Oh, Angie just popped in. She says hi.
Hola.
All right. How do you know when someone is in a state of possession?
Oh, that's a great question. Like me personally, I don't think I would be the one that made that call. I would say that people would be exhibiting certain specific signs, you know, the telltale type of signs.
Mm-hmm.
But I ultimately think that would be, you know, that diagnosis, for lack of a better term, would be best served to, you know, the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, a member of the clergy or something, a holy man of some sort. And I would say, you know, definitely, if somebody is exhibiting certain signs, you know, I mean, obviously speaking in a different language.
Right.
Something like, and that was... That's what's interesting to me is, you know, the different possession cases that you read about. You know, people speaking Aramaic. It's like, well, Aramaic is something that is generally studied in higher education, sure, but it's also it's a dead language. You know, it's like that's something that is quite interesting. Or somebody speaking in a language like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would definitely send up numerous red flags for me. And then especially if people are acting in a way that's definitely not them. Like the case that we had in A Brush with Evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend Tiffany, straight A student, a very, what I called an effervescent personality, a very bubbly girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was also very strong in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much out of all of our groups, she was the strongest in faith. And
are you there?
We're losing?
I think so.
We're losing.
I'm still there.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm sorry.
You're good.
One second.
We had a pause.
Well, it's kind of weird. I got a phone call and apparently that disconnected me momentarily. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That was really shitty timing. But my God, that probably was a little scary. But anyway, so with her or whatever, and again, straight A student, amazing person, top of her class, and you know she's affected by something, and then she. You know, she doesn't go to a single class. Mm-hmm. She never meets us for a single meal. Now, we were the outcasts on campus, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, we stuck together. We were quite the tribe. So for her to even miss, like, socializing with us was a rarity. me going up to her dorm room and having the RA key into the room because we were that concerned for her, and her rolling over in bed and telling me to F off and die.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, and she doesn't use language like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was things of that nature.
Wow.
That's what, you know, like, raised the red flags for me. That's a great freaking question, though, but I do think that everybody is different. You know, another thing that really, like, another thought of mine or whatever is, you know, a lot of people that have been maybe institutionalized, mm-hmm. right? And they're in this building and, you know, society or whatever has deemed them, mm-hmm. you know, crazy for lack of a better word, I guess, but, right. you know, they're saying these things, like, you know, the devil's coming to get me, or the devil's in me, or I see the devil, I visit the devil, I speak to the devil, what have you. Mm-hmm. And they could absolutely be telling the truth and completely sane, but, you know, nobody's going to believe them because of where they are. And that's a tragedy.
Right.
In my opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. But who better to prey upon than somebody that's not going to be believed, right? And just like in Tiffany's case, like mm-hmm. I said, she was very strong in faith. What is a better slap in the face to God than look what I can do to one of your most devoted?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're little assholes is basically what it is. Like a demon is basically just a little prick, just a little asshole. And they're going to dig at you however they can. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it was little stupid sophomoric petty shit like that. That's the stuff that I look for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this one's kind of off the subject, but Angie wants to know, how do you make such stinking adorable kids? She misses the girls giving her tours of the manor.
Yeah. The fruit's never far from the farmer there, is it? In all honesty, I have no freaking idea. Like, how I got so damn lucky with my children, I swear to God. Because it's got to be all of Kirsten's genes, honestly. It's definitely not from me.
Okay, and then going back to the alien one, Christopher did pop up in here. He wants to know if you think the little alien guys are here already.
Yeah, I would say yes. There's so much out there with people that have said, you know, they're already here, they're walking among us, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wow, like that's terrifying. They're like, it could be your, you know, your neighbor, it could be your pastor, it could be your teacher or whatever. And I remember I was in third grade and I read this book called My Teacher is an Alien.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You remember that shit?
I read that too.
I remember reading that book going like, oh, my God. He just totally freaked out because I was like, you know, my teacher is a little strange. This is totally possible in my third grade mind, you know.
There was also one called My Teacher. I think my teacher's a leprechaun.
Oh, hell yes.
That one was kind of interesting, too. I actually had a teacher that looked like he was a counselor, and he looked like a leprechaun.
Hell. Oh, hell.
Pretty sure he was. And he kept gerbils awesome. In his office. Kind of odd, but. That's probably another story, but...
Yeah, probably. But that's for another day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So great. So great.
Oh, my gosh. His name was Mr. Eckert. That was it. Mr. Eckert. He looked like a little leprechaun. He literally did, and he kept gerbils in his office.
I'll be going around. I think I'll make a boat and sail away now. Oh, look at that. It's delicious.
He came after I left, so yeah. I didn't know him.
He was great.
Oh, my God. So amazing.
Okay. I got to compose myself here. Before we wrap things up, there's a couple more questions from people in chat here. They want to know, how do you feel about the most haunted dolls like Robert, Annabelle being showcased for a limited time at the Malvern?
At the Malvern Manor?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned that. Who asked that question?
I think it was probably Darren.
Yep.
Darren. Okay. Yeah. Because I think that this is something that, you know, we've discussed before. And I would be all about that. I would absolutely be all about that. Something with such a stigma attached to it, and you put it inside of a very active location anyway. Mm-hmm. I would love to see what happens right. with that. Good God, it could be fun. And I would totally entertain that.
That would be awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm. So we're definitely, we're definitely kicking this around. I will say that, like, for the year 2020, like, we want Annabelle at Malvern Manor.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. Let's just see if it happens.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Uh-huh, for sure. Dolls. They'd have one big doll orgy.
Well, I will say, like, she travels with a priest. Like, a priest comes with her.
Oh my gosh!
And you are blessed before you even approach.
Oh gosh!
And all of that, yes, for sure.
Wow, that is nuts. Yeah. That is absolutely insane. Holy shit! All
right, that's what I was like. I'm like, oh, put her in my office. Yeah.
Why not? And then we'll lock you in there.
Yeah, why not?
What the heck?
My dumbass, I'd probably be all for it, you know? Yeah. Let's see what happens, guys. What could go wrong? It'll be fine. Sorry, I'm filling up my water bottle. If it's loud, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm not, like, making sissy or anything like that, I promise. I'm just a little parched.
It's okay. It's all right. Let's see. We have one more question here before we start to wrap things up. But what are your views on the Philip experiment?
Oh, I love the Philip experiment. Quite literally, you're talking about the idea of creating a ghost, and exactly why. Like, I have referenced the Philip experiment numerous times now in Malvern Manor, just dealing with the idea of Inez Gibson and how we know, like, Inez Gibson, or at least a spirit claiming to be Inez Gibson, is mm-hmm. one of the most active inside of Malvern Manor, mm-hmm. but she never died there.
Right.
She died, you know, she died a block away.
Right.
It's like, or half a block away or whatever it is. But
right.
it is interesting to me, because have I told that story enough? Have I gone through that horrific event enough? Because now I've said that story mm-hmm. thousands of times over.
Right.
And is it possible that I created a ghost? Did I speak her into existence? Mm-hmm. Just like with the Philip experiment. And mm-hmm. I think more experiments just like that need to be mm-hmm. applied, studied, and reapplied, and to see what happens, because there is something going on with, like, collective conscious, you know, there really is something to be said with that. Mm-hmm. I would direct people towards, like, if you said earlier on Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. I did that documentary called Interconnected, and Interconnected is on VidiSpace. It is on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Go check that out. And I would direct people to look into something called the Global Consciousness Project. And really do some research there. It is mind-blowing, fascinating, and there is absolutely no way that the human populace isn't all connected in some way. No mm-hmm. matter how much we bicker and bitch and fight,
right.
we are all connected. It is phenomenal, the results that they got.
Just like the lady in the bathtub. No one else has caught her but you.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I don't think anybody else has had a lady in the bathroom at Malvern.
No.
Being strangled.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah.
And I've taken people down there, and they don't get the same results as you do.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It is pretty amazing.
But we get it on the spirit box, too, when I'm feeling. Like, you'll hear her come through on the spirit box.
Yeah.
Good God.
It's nuts.
It makes you wonder, is it some paranormal baggage that you're bringing with, mm-hmm. right?
It could be, because, well, that one time we went there, I had that Jack.
And oh, he yeah.
And he was new. He said he was new there. And
Jeff.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Yeah. Something like that. Anyways, I knew it started with a J. And he, I asked him how he got there, and he said, with you.
With you.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that, right, is you were one of three groups.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
One of three groups that got Jeff.
Right. That's
and,
nuts.
In three corresponding weeks.
Yeah.
And again, oh, I'm new here.
Yeah.
The exact same type of answers every time. I'm like, now how the hell does that work?
Right. Yeah. That's nuts. Actually.
Pretty amazing.
It is. It is actually pretty, it's pretty cool. It is pretty spot on. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll get things kind of wrapped up here, but I want to just give shout outs real quick to everybody who was in chat tonight. We had Shay, we had Darren, we had Angie, we had Christopher, we had Matt. I know Rebecca was in there for a period of time. I think Fred, we had Cynthia. I think that was it.
I think that was it.
But there was a lot of stuff in there, so I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anybody. So thank you everybody who was interactive in chat tonight. Thank you for everybody who was not in chat but listening. Please make sure to like and share. Next week, we're actually going to have, so far, one of the other teammates on our team, so everybody can come to know that that's just
not me and Al.
Yeah, it's not just the two of us.
There is more to our team.
We're
going to interview our team. We're trying to get them all on, so.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting show, so stay tuned for that. We'd like to thank Josh for being on.
Yeah,
he's awesome,
you.
And it's like, I just, like, I told Kim, I'm like, okay, we've had everybody else on. Why the hell have we had Josh on yet?
I know. No, it's fine. I kept my mouth shut because I was just over here like, God damn it. Like, they're never going to ask. Like, I'm
well,
going to have to invite
every
myself.
Every time we turn around, you're on somebody else's show. So
we're like, I know.
So we're like, you know, don't want to wear too thin, you know, but still. And I had to give you shit about the landscaping because, you know.
I do appreciate that.
I thought about that. I'm like, well, I'm going to be the first one to bring it up, so.
Absolutely.
Well, since you're a bed and breakfast now, and it's going to be my birthday when there.
It is.
I want a birthday cake.
How do you, how do you like your eggs? You know? Oh, hell.
No, I'm That's only funny. Kidding, but yeah, we'll be there the day after my birthday, so
yeah,
I can't wait.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
It's going to be epic. So, all right, well. Thank you, everybody, once again, and hopefully you guys tune in next week. I can't even talk, and I haven't even had that much. I just had a glass. That's it. That's not even a lot for me. Usually I have a bottle, okay? I've had one glass. One freaking glass. All right. So, everybody, thank you once again, and we will hear from you all next week. And thank you, Josh, for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Let's see.
Thank you for listening to REP Paranormal and Friends. Be sure to check out Kim and Allison on Facebook at REP Paranormal Busters.